This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.
David Morgan with you with the weekly perspective for the week ending 23 November 2018. Well, first up is the trend change, the big shift. Stocks have been going up significantly for quite some time. And I and others have said, we think we're about there. In other words, the shift is changing, which means you want to move out of equities, probably out of bonds, and into a countercyclical investment, which means commodities, generally speaking, and more importantly, the precious metals. First article from Zero Hedge, get out now. Societe Generale releases the most bearish 2019 forecast. Yet, last November, when one bank after another was releasing optimistic 2018 market forecast, following a stretch of record low single-digit volatility index prints and an S&P that refused to even think of dropping, one bank bucked the bullish trend, predicting that the S&P would end 2018 at 2,500, about 350 points below the average sell-side consensus. That's the essence of it. The other part is that the market itself, in general terms, is at levels seen in the late 1990s bubble. And since Trump's election, the U.S. equity market has risen 24%, but only half of that came from earnings growth. Basically, this buyback program and expanding PEs are what's taken it higher. So buyer beware. If you're in the market, you might consider lightening up your positions or at least putting stops on or that type of thing. I do believe that over the next year, 2019, there will be a trend shift, meaning moving out of general equities and into the commodity sector. Even real estate probably has some headwinds because of the increase in interest rates that are forecast to take place. One more probably before the end of this year, and probably two or three next year. Although they're rather minute in scale, they do have an effect on the markets overall. Some of the biggest news in the financial sector this week had to do with the cryptocurrency market. Bitcoin had been building a long sideways channel, somewhere roughly between $6,000 and $7,000 per Bitcoin, and broke that trend to the downside. Once a channel is broken, it's an easy trade to make if you know what to do. If it breaks to the upside, you go long. If it breaks to the downside, you go short. Anyway, regardless of whether anyone made that trade or not, and I'm sure some people did, the fact remains that Bitcoin actually got some prints in the low 4,000s. It's yet to build a base. It really hasn't bounced up off that level in any meaningful way. It's only been about a week. But the next article is crypto mining firm Gigawatt files for bankruptcy, faces eviction in Washington County. And I'm not going to read this article. I want to just use it as a header because I took a look at what the mining costs are worldwide to mine Bitcoin. And of course, it varies country to country. But round numbers, many parts of the world, it runs roughly $5,000 for Bitcoin. And of course, at a $4,400 price as I'm doing this update, obviously you're not going to do it. It's losing money. So it's an interesting situation in the cryptocurrencies, leader always being Bitcoin, to see where this continues, how it's going to manifest, unravel, unfold, etc. Many, I think, at the beginning of the year were thinking that Bitcoin would be like at the 50,000 mark by the end of this year. And of course, we're about 6 weeks away, and obviously that is going to take place. And next up is from Clean Technica, peak oil and drastic oil shortage imminent, says the IEA. While the International Energy Association got a lot of coverage for its World Energy Outlook 2018, there might have been a little snippet that got away underappreciated. On page 159 of its outlook, behind the payment barrier is this graph. Basically, what it shows is peak oil before 2020, which isn't very far away. The demand curve showing an increase, as you can see here where my cursor is, and the supply curve showing basically your oil, your tight, your non-liquids, basically your major energies, oil and gas primarily, coming down, 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 and down. So this is something that's been way out of favor. A lot of the peak oil people have been basically ridiculed, moved to the sidelines, etc. I'm not going to comment too much more on this article. I think it deserves very, very serious attention. There's another graph here showing the long decline in new oil and gas discoveries. What you can see is a peak around this level. Of course, if you go back here to 1970 or 71, when Hubbert's Peak became so famous, and if you want to be technical about it, you could say that that peak is greater than this peak that we've had a few years back. Regardless, this is the curve. It's coming down. And this is a fact that very few people really acknowledge. In fact, most are of the belief that we have plenty of conventional energy to continue. Which, as just a quick reminder, I will be in London starting on the 25th of this month, a couple days from now when I'm doing this update, and I'll be launching the Energy Stock Profits, revolves around all energy. It'll be conventional and non-conventional renewables and some of the more exotics like energy metals, storage battery minerals, and that type of thing. Coming back on point, so what does this mean? It means that a collapse in oil supply to half its current size with only 6 years simply cannot be compensated by new oil findings, and certainly not by unconventional oil sources like oil sands and fracking. Let that burn into your consciousness. And if you choose not to believe that, that's fine. But remember, believe has a lie in it. What I really want you to do is do your own research and take a look at both sides and really evaluate it. And I'll use an analogy. If you look at a true scientist, they'll tell you that every ounce of silver that ever was mined on the planet still exists. And so there's, 60 billion ounces of silver. That's what they'll tell you. And in theory, they're correct. I mean, basically that molecule, that atom of silver cannot be destroyed in a sense. However, from a practical standpoint, really we only have about 2.5 billion ounces of investable silver. And where is the rest of it? Well, some's in jewelry, some's in silverware, some's in artwork, but the point being that most of it is in unrecoverable landfills across the planet, thrown away, bottom of the ocean or whatever. In other words, it's not available. So even though it exists, it's impossible from at least our technological know-how at this point in time to recover it in a meaningful way or to recover it economically. I want to use that metaphor to the oil sector. There could be a great deal of capacity out there, but it is so uneconomic to get it. And not only uneconomic in terms of dollars and cents, which everyone thinks in terms of, it's more important to think of energy required to get an energy return. Energy return on energy invested. So if it takes 99 barrels of oil to get out 100, it's not worth it. If it takes even 70, 80 to get out 100, it's hardly worth it. And this is what we're up against. So you really have to think through these things. It's not a how much do we have. It's a deeper thought process than that. So end of speech. I want to move on to the precious metals and sign off for this week. And straight from Reuters, Citigroup, JP Morgan to pay $182.5 million to settle rate rigging lawsuit. Citigroup and JP Morgan will pay that amount to settle U.S. investor litigation, claiming they violated antitrust laws by conspiring with other banks to rig a key European interest rate benchmark. Preliminary settlement addressing the bank's alleged manipulation of the European Interbank Offered Rate, or LIBOR as it's known, LIBOR, on Wednesday night with the U.S. District Court in Manhattan. And on that same theme, we have JP Morgan Metals probed to spur U.S. to ask for a delay in civil suit. Basically, they're trying to throw up a roadblock on this lawsuit regarding the rigging of precious metals markets. To be fair, if you read the details of the account, what you'll find is that there was spoofing going both directions to move the market up and down. We certainly know manipulation means that. It doesn't mean necessarily a one-way trip. What we do know is that it's been done. It's been admitted to. There are guilty parties. And how this comes unraveled in the future remains to be determined. What actions a court actually takes also remains to be determined. But certainly it's in the news. It's in the mainstream, and it cannot be ignored at this point. And I just wanted to share this quick email we received very recently, in fact, a couple days ago, addressed to Chris, who's our senior equity analyst at the Morgan Report. One of the most valuable parts of my membership to the Morgan Report is the two question members get to ask yourself and David each month. And me, Chris, David, Bruce, whomever, but mostly the three of us. Anyway, having access to world-renowned silver expert, I'd like to downplay that and put more of a resource equity specialist or resource analyst or whatever. Certainly follow a lot more than just a silver market. Anyone that's ever subscribed to the premium membership knows that, but certainly spend time in the silver space. Anyway, backing up, having access to world-renowned silver expert and superb precious metal security analyst is worth the cost of subscriptions alone. Again, we do a lot more than just gold and silver in our equity analysis. Please feel free to use that quote as a whole or in part in your marketing efforts for new members if you wish to. Thank you very much. I'll buy the book and work through what you guided on. Many thanks and wishing you and myself, respective families, a very happy Thanksgiving. Cheers, James. He's been with us quite some time, and I know it's heartfelt. I know him quite well. And I thank him for taking the time out to acknowledge what we do for our members, our paid members at the Morgan Report. Certainly, if you're on the free membership, we continue to give you good information every weekend. That's why I do these weekly updates, is to kind of wrap up the week for you. I try to always end on the precious metals and give you insights into what's happening in the overall financial system, which is something that's basically in uncharted territories, as we all know. So I'll be back with you next week after my return from London with more information. Until then, remember, there's nothing more powerful than the truth.
This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.